Welcome to the Swedish Junior Hockey Podcast. Jacob Dahlin, your host. Today we have Ida Press from Leksand, but we're going to talk about college hockey a little bit. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Scandlux, your home for Scandinavian luxury products for the U.S. market. You can find us at scandlux.com.
So the geographical component of this episode, of this podcast, we always ask, where are you sitting? So you told me offline that you are home in Leksand.
Yes, that's correct. I'm sitting in Leksand right now.
But not originally from Leksand. Where are you from?
I'm from Uppsala, a city close near Stockholm.
Yep. Very, I don't know. Would you call that center of Sweden? Sort of?
I would call it center of Sweden, but it's not center of Sweden if you look at the map, but I would call it center of Sweden, yeah.
Yeah, Sweden is such a long country or tall country and very unpopulated up north, but you know, if you really took where the most populated part is kind of center of Sweden and historic town, really nice place. My dad went to university in Uppsala a long time ago. And so on. But what I wanted to talk about today, I think, you know, your path of growing up there, going to hockey gymnasium, and then getting into the SDHL. I'm looking at the elite prospects here on a second screen, and then leaving to go play college, getting your master's in the U.S., and now coming back to play SDHL. Yeah. In Leksand. So why don't we start growing up? Because I know you have a hockey family, right?
Yes, I do. So I guess it would start with my granddad on my father's side. He was very much into hockey and he got my dad started. And then that just kept going. My dad put that on to me and my brother as well. And I think me growing up, was when I was a baby, my dad was still playing at lower divisions, and I grew up in a hockey rink, and my brother started playing also right around when I was born, I think. So I basically spent all non-school time at a hockey rink when I was a kid.
Yeah. But I'm assuming you played other sports as well?
Yes, I played the soccer and floorball. And I play those sports. I would say, I think I played floorball the longest out of those other two.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's a one point around there, 12, 13, where you kind of have to pick because practices collapse and it's not as easy anymore. It's more time consuming, the sports. So I had to pick one sport, and it was hockey because that was the most fun.
Yeah. And your brother still plays, I think, in the KHL and so on. And he is, I didn't look at the age difference, but what you can tell me, he's older than you are.
Yeah, he's born 94, so he's like 4.5 years older than me.
Yeah. So who had the biggest influence, your dad or your brother, on your hockey career?
I would say as a kid, it was I would say it was my dad. But then as we grew older and I started to notice that my brother was pretty good at hockey, I started idolizing him and trying to be like him. So as I got older, it became more my brother.
Yeah. And he's done okay.
Yeah, he's done okay.
But it was interesting too. So, and I wanted to ask about this since your dad was he's a couple of years older than me, and we were overlapping a little bit in school. So he went to gymnasium in Leksand. Was that for hockey as well?
Yeah, that was for hockey. I don't think he did all 3 years in gymnasium. I think, because I know he played in AIK for a bit. I think before or after he was in Leksand. So I'm not completely sure, but I know he lived up here for a while and went to school.
So what kind of influence did that have, since you kind of you didn't go to hockey gymnasium in Leksand, but you went there and then you went to college and then now you're back there. So what is that always why Leksand for you?
I think for me, it was the first 2 years of hockey gymnasium I did in Stockholm play for Djurgården, and I kind of felt that was my, I played 3 seasons there at the time, and I didn't feel like I got the development that I was looking for, because we had a lot of older, really talented girls that had been in national teams for a very long time. I kind of looked elsewhere, and Lexan reached out and was very interested in Alex, that was the coach there at the time, now my GM. He was very interested in me and believed in me and showed me great opportunities if I would come here. And obviously, like, my dad knowing the town, and we actually do have some long distance family in the town as well. So it wasn't, I wouldn't say it influenced me that much that my dad had played here, but it was definitely cool when we visited and he was like, "Oh, that's where I lived." And, "Oh, I remember walking these hallways when we visited the school and stuff." So that was obviously cool knowing that part, and he could give some tips and tricks as well as moving to Lex and how, what it would be like.
Yeah, and a little bit of, I mean, big contrast with. So let's go back to kind of leaving from Uppsala, who's a good sized city, but it's not Stockholm. Uppsala's
No.
kind of a nice city, kind of on its own, and a central. You have a downtown or a central of Uppsala, and then you have kind of the. The everything's grown out from there. But leaving to go to go to hockey gymnasium, playing Djurgården, okay, top club, lots of history, enticing. But how was that like geographically to live in Stockholm? That's got to be a big contrast.
Yeah, it definitely was, and especially first time like living away from home, it was hard. And at first, they put me very close to Niklas Ekman's house, thinking that would like help me being close to him and Daniela Rundqvist, that was also involved in Djurgården at the time. But the only down part, because it was in Danderyd, and it's quite a bit to go to Södermalm or Hovet for practices, so that was the down part. But having them close was obviously really nice. But just to commute, like for early morning hockey gymnasium practices, wasn't ideal. So eventually, I got to move into the city, and it was definitely a big adjustment. Live first time living away from home in such a big city, just learning how to commute from practice to school back home. But I kind of got a little taste of it, because in ninth grade, that's when I started playing there, and I commuted every day, between like school in ninth grade and practice at night from Stockholm. So I kind of learned a little bit then how to navigate, but obviously was still like moving there for real was still something new, something I hadn't
Yeah.
experienced before.
And I know that is kind of the challenge with teams in Stockholm. I mean, lots and lots of teams, and they do a great job in kind of developing. There's so many feeder clubs on the men's side and the women's side that are available, but I know the commute can be long and tiresome, and sitting on the subway and moving from one place to another and so on. And then so then going back to then or not going back, but your first year in so back then there was no junior league for women. I know that that's starting now, right? So
Yeah,
you
we
were so
only.
were you playing did you grow up playing co-ed with the boys before hockey gymnasium?
I didn't play with the boys all the way until hockey gymnasium. I think I played with them until 7th grade, I believe. And then at the time, my club in Uppsala, Almtuna, had a women's team, and we, those years, we were actually pretty decent, and that's where I played. But once I felt like I wanted to develop even further from there. That's when I, well, elsewhere, and that's why I couldn't wait until gymnasium. I started playing Eurorun in ninth grade.
Yeah. And what was your study, since we're going to talk about college, what was your study in gymnasium?
It was one of the preparations for university. It was what is it called now? Social. I lost the
I
word
don't
now.
know. I've been out for so long. I went to Technius, so
I see ja, some och
samhällsvetenskap. Yeah, I'm not sure what that
Well,
is.
social
Social
science
sciences or
and behavior, I guess.
But my point there is that you didn't take barnen fritid or like
No.
something easy. It was college preparatory, and how was that academically for you? Was it hard since you were doing a lot of training and traveling?
Yes, I think I made it harder for myself because I had the time to study more, but at the time, I didn't realize how important and crucial that was. It wasn't until I actually started talking to a university in the States that I realized, oh, I might have to focus a little bit more on school. So, but I think back then I just didn't have the time management that I have today or later in gymnasium. So at first I would say I was probably wasn't struggling, like I passed and like did okay, but I didn't put any effort into it, so I probably could have done a lot better.
So all right, let's take you back kind of the journey here. You then leave Djurgården, play for Leksand, SDHL. You're out of school at that time, right?
No, that I actually left mid gymnasium. So, my last year in gymnasium, I did in Lexand.
Okay, but a big
Yeah.
contrast just from a standpoint of describe the differences of going from even Uppsala, but definitely Stockholm to go to Leksand. How would you describe the difference?
Lexand's not even a city. It's a little town. Where the rink basically fits more people than actually lives in the town, which is kind of a crazy thing. But no, it's a small town. Everyone knows everyone somehow, I feel like. And it's a town that really breeds hockey all year round. Like, and it's so cool that such a small place has that hockey atmosphere that Lexan has.
Yeah. Did you live in Leksandstrand at the time?
No, I lived right next to the rink, actually.
Okay. Because I know that
Yeah.
that's been kind of a common because the team owns the kind of
Yeah.
the village there with that provides a lot of the housing, which you can walk to the rink,
Yeah.
pretty nice. But I know that's a lot of, I didn't know where most of the SDHL players from the outside live. Is that kind of common there?
I would say it's a great mix of it. I knew there was a few girls that lived at Leksandstrand this year. All our coaches lived there as well. But the majority of the players actually lived like in the town.
In the town. Okay.
Yeah.
And I grew up outside of in a village, 15 minutes from there, and it's a little bit, I think that living or playing in Leksand, and being right there in the middle is got its advantages. They have a expression from an advertising thing from Leksand, the town. It says "Lättat leva," easy to live, and I think that that's a it's a pretty good true description of how it is to be in Leksand.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree. Especially when you're young and like in the hockey gymnasium, like everything's so close, the grocery store, you can bike there for 3 minutes and you maximum 5 minute bike ride to the rink. And
Yeah.
the hockey gymnasiums or the school is right next to the rink, so it's a very good setup that they have for the hockey players to go to school here.
Yeah. How was the what about facilities wise? Do you if you compare Uta Gordon, who's got top programs, top. I'm not as familiar with their facilities. I know that there's always talks about building new rinks and da 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 da. But what was it like for being in the hockey gymnasium from a facility standpoint, and where you practice and gym and these type of things?
I would say Jurgården is kind of in a disadvantage there because they're in a big arena that is not only for hockey. It wasn't mainly built for hockey, it was built for events. So they kind of have to get what they take what they get, and that's like a gym that's a little like quite a bit of a walk in the arena. It's in a little awkward spot, and then the same with the locker rooms. They're kind of put a little bit awkwardly, but that's simply because they didn't build it for the club. It was
Yes.
built by the city for events. So I would say that's the biggest difference coming here to Lexington, and it's actually a hockey arena that was built for hockey. And locker at the time, Jurgården and women's hockey, when I played there, we didn't have our own locker rooms. But then when I came to Lexington, we had our own locker room, which was a huge deal back then. Just small stuff like that, I think. Just the main fact that the arena here in Lexington was built for hockey, and in Stockholm it wasn't.
Yeah. And a couple of seasons where you had international experience with the national team. And, but when did you, let's go into this. When did you start thinking about going to the US and playing in college?
Yeah, so I would say it started when I was pretty young. I was a student at Maria Ruth's summer hockey camps, and she was over when she was younger playing at Duluth. So just hearing her stories, but at that camp when I was talking to her, seemed so cool. And so I think that's where the seed was planted. And then I think as my career went on going, is soon became a dream that to be able to play college hockey, and it was always something I thought about even before I played with the U18 national team, I would say.
Yeah, and your brother, I'm looking at the timetable too. Right about the same time. So when you were in Uruguay and he played in the AHL 14, 15, I believe.
Yeah.
So was that? So he was over there. Were you guys over there at the same time? Did
No,
it
we
overlap?
never were. Yeah. No, he left before I came over.
Okay, but it
Yeah.
was so as a family, it wasn't necessarily a huge, new thing, right?
No, we had been, I mean, my brother left when he was going in hockey gymnasium, and then I left. So we had been separated for a while. And like you said, my brother had been over there for a while, so now we were kind of used to it, and I think that also helped with my parents. They weren't as worried because they'd seen my brother being over there playing
Yeah,
hockey.
that's where I was getting
So
to.
yeah, that definitely helped a little bit. They weren't as worried, I think, when I went over.
Yeah. So where did the, how did this, did you get an agent right away, or how did, one of the drawbacks or traps is that you end up locking yourself out of the eligibility cycle by taking, benefits or wages, and you'd played, a number of years in the SDHL. Did you, Gordon and Lexund, were they pretty clear from the beginning about that?
I would say being in Djurgården with Nils Ekman and Daniela Rundqvist, they're very professional in knowing like the rules and what applies. So they asked us young players, like, do you guys want to play college hockey? Like, is that
Yeah.
something you could think about doing? And I was like, yes. And then they were like, okay, perfect. You guys are not gonna do all these shoots. You're not gonna be on the billboards in city, like stuff like that, just to make sure that once we want to go over, we don't have a problem with the eligibility at all.
Yeah. That's good. And I think that that's it perhaps is a little bit more common on the men's side where you get kind of suckered into it. It's more common per player, I would say, since there is, it seems more lucrative for on the women's side because of the wage gap to be able to go play in college rather than the SDHL. But I don't know. I'm glad. I've heard that from others that we had Felicia Frank, who just signed with Quinnipiac, and she told the same story that, no, they guided us well within that, so we didn't get in a trap. So how did it start? Who reached out first, or did you reach out, or did you, Gordon, and Lexon help you with the recruitment, or why University of Maine kind of thing?
Yeah, so I would say playing the U18 tournaments definitely helped being seen, especially when one of the years that I played was in Canada, so a lot of the college coaches was obviously there scouting. And that first tournament I did, it, I actually got in contact with Brown, but I knew pretty quickly that I wasn't didn't have the grades to make it there. So, and then after that, I didn't hear from another school until I came to Lexon actually after half that season. So I was kind of had already accepted the fact that I might not be able to go play college hockey, at least not right after gymnasium. But then I had a pretty decent start to the season, and they were still looking for another defenseman for the 2018 incoming freshman. So they reached out and was very interested. And at that time, I'd kind of already realized that I had to focus more on school as well after talking to Brown. So I kind of had the grades all set, and then I just had to do all the academic testing that took place, and I went for a visit. So they actually reached out to me, the coaches at Maine.
So, did you ever go to Brown University to visit?
No, I did not. I told them
So,
pretty right. I told them pretty quickly when we were had our first call, like, I don't like my grades are bad. You guys don't. They were like, no, it's gonna be fine. But then once I sent them the grades that I had so far, they said, yeah, you're either gonna have to really step it up or this is gonna be really hard. So, and I knew that at that point I wasn't gonna be able to get straight A's from then on to like
yeah.
graduating. That's hard. I knew I would have some B's in there and C. So I kind of told them, well, then like it's not gonna work.
Well, funny story. I was at so Brown University is in Providence, Rhode Island, and I was up there one time for a Chowder Cup tournament in Boston. So we drove down to for whatever reason, we were really close, and we ended up eating at this Korean barbecue restaurant in right in the center of right where Brown University was, and it was my son and one of his buddies. And I looked around and I told them, I said, this is what. So the population that goes there, there's not a. So we kind of call it Geek City. That sounds really derogatory, but or Nerd City, because it was very, very. It was very prominent to be able to see the kind of a certain, level of academics within. So,
No, I completely agree. And now knowing like Shea Maloney that played in Lexon last year, she played 4 years at Brown and then one at Quinnipiac, and just hearing how the experience was with school at the Ivy League schools, like I know I wouldn't have been able to handle that, I don't think.
but what about University of Maine? I mean, did you know much about Maine? As a school?
I knew that Ebba Strandberg that now plays in Frölunda, or she's just retired, I think, but she played there, and I knew about that. So I knew there was another Swede, and then I knew Celine Tedenby from Modo was gonna go there as well. So I kind of made contact with them and asked them how it was, and me and Celine were talking a lot since we was go were about to go there together. So, but no, I didn't know much else besides like hearing Ebba's experience so far. But then I would say when I visited over a weekend there in the spring, I think that was when I realized, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. Just seeing the facilities, there's nothing compared to it here in Sweden. I wouldn't even say some of the SHL team has those facilities that college hockey does. So I just saw an opportunity to become a better hockey player and get a degree at the same time, which is huge.
So I've never been to University of Maine, to be clear, but How so, like Brown University there, it's just a bunch of buildings, and it's not necessarily like a centralized or segregated campus. How's University of Maine? Is it like you go in one big gate and everything's right there?
Yeah, basically, it's in this super small town, Orono, Maine, that I generally don't think would exist without the university.
Yeah.
It's very small, almost like I would say it reminds me a little bit of Lexington, just a more American style.
Yeah. And older
And
probably, or seems older.
but yeah, no, it's a campus that where everything's located over a big area, bigger
Yeah.
area than
And
a
just a
small
bunch of
campus.
students.
Yeah, just a bunch of students everywhere.
Did you live in the dormitories when you first came?
No, I actually, me and Celine didn't be actually got out of that, so we ended up in one of the student complex apartment complex outside of campus.
Okay.
So luckily, I did never have to live in a dorm. I don't think I would have been able to handle, like, also knowing having living by yourself for 3 years prior and then start sharing a room with a teammate. I don't think I would have done great in that situation.
For those who may not know, what's dormitory life like? Because you went to the dorm, so you know what it's like there, right?
Yes.
I mean, how
Yeah.
would you
Yeah.
describe that? Because I think that a lot, it is very foreign, it's very different, and especially for
Yeah.
people that have lived in an apartment and cooked and cleaned and done on your own. And then what's dorm like for a student in the US?
It's a small room with basically two beds, two desks, two closets,
One
two
sink,
drawers, and
maybe.
then yeah, no, those that my teammates live in, they didn't even have a sink in their own dorm.
Yep.
And then it was in the hallway, there was a bathroom that everyone shared, and stall bathrooms and stall showers. And yeah, it was very small, and I think sharing that room after living in a whole apartment by yourself would feel claustrophobic somehow.
Yeah. No privacy, no, but I think that from a standpoint of, okay, it is a different experience. I think academically, it's really difficult for people to come in. I remember because I went to college here, and my freshman year in college, it was really challenging because I realized I can't study in my room. So then I had
Yeah.
to go somewhere else to study
Yeah.
because there's just too much going on. People coming and going, knocking on door. My roommate was not really interested in going to school. And, you know, so. Yeah, it is very different. It's very different, but in a lot of the schools, for those who are listening that may be interested in going to play in college, a lot of places have athletic dorms, or they may have, in the nicer schools, they have quads that are more like apartments
Yeah.
where you may have a common area, common kitchen, and you may have
Yeah.
like four apartments together. It's a common, common setup. But on the other hand, it is kind of simple to live though, right? You don't have to go anywhere. Everything's on campus. Meal plans. I'm assuming that you had everything provided.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we kind of, when you lived off campus at Maine, you got the money for what the dorm would cost and what a meal plan would cost in as pocket money, actually. So
Okay.
that would go towards your rent and then your food, those money. It was a little bit more expensive living off campus, and I was thinking a lot about getting the dining hall pass card, but I quit pretty quickly, realized that the food in the dining halls wasn't the best, if I would say so. So I actually decided to just go to the grocery store and cook it at home, since we had a full kitchen in the apartment. So I kind of went that route instead, but I know other people bought the meal plan.
Yeah. All right. So hockey wise over there, what going from SDHL, playing there in a couple of years, high level, playing internationally, and then you go to University of Maine. Big difference?
Yes, I would say the biggest difference was probably the smaller rink, and then just adjusting to the American style of hockey and American style of coaching. I would say that was the biggest adjustment, definitely.
What? All right, elaborate that. Let's dive into that. So the as a defenseman, what was the biggest difference in the rink size? I mean, the rink itself, yes, it's smaller, but it translates into a different game.
Yeah.
As a defenseman, how would you describe the difference?
I would say defensively, it was a lot nicer because it was closer to the corners in the D zone. But with the puck, it's you have a lot less time.
Yeah.
The decision had to come a lot quicker, and I think the first couple of games that was definitely an adjustment on realizing that, like, holy, I can't just stand here with the puck for that long as I could before,
Yeah.
or skate with the puck that much. I have to do something with it quickly. So I would say that was probably the biggest. I would say with the puck and offensively, you realize you didn't have as much time, but defensively, it was easier to get closer gaps because it's not as big, or it was you were quicker out in the corner pressing the forward because the ice just wasn't as big.
And everything's more in there. There's less outside the dots, so they can't really beat you on the outside if you're a good skater, right? But
Yeah, it's definitely. I would say,
what about the forecheck, right?
yeah.
Were you used to a forecheck? I mean, I've never seen a hard forecheck in Swedish junior hockey on men's or women's.
No, that was definitely something I realized also quickly. But that being said, like, just be having the puck, like, you have so much less time than I was used to in SHL. And the forechecks, like, it would be. They would come two, even three sometimes at like down low. So it was definitely an adjustment. But I also realized pretty quickly that it was a lot more in practice on how to beat the other team's forecheck. Like there was the other line you went against forechecked as the opposing team up for the upcoming weekend. So you can feel like that forecheck and find solutions on how to get out of it. And
Yeah.
I think that was also a big difference in how you practice over there.
Yeah. What about the coaching? You mentioned the coaching style a little bit different.
Yeah. I would just say, I guess that kind of goes into how the team plays. It was a lot more maybe making the quick plays, chipping on the boards than I was used to being back home where you're just trying to do tape to tape basically all the time. But with that little time, you can't always make a tape to tape pass. You have to put it on an area where the forward can skate into it sometime. And I think that was a big adjustment for me because I when I came over there, I was a very much offensive defenseman that liked to hold on to the puck and make good passes. So I had to develop that, and obviously the defensive part was two aspects that I developed a lot when I was over there.
Yeah. What about did you ever get yelled at?
Yes, I did sometimes.
I mean,
I
I
also
say that because it can be a little bit of a culture shock from a
Yeah.
standpoint of the style of coaching is a little bit more in your face, perhaps, than soft voices, more
Yeah.
talking, more. It's a different communication style.
No, for sure. And I think our coaches, when we came in, they had international, like, I think half our team at that time was international players, like players from Europe. So I think they were kind of used to international players, and we didn't have to call him coach. We could call him by his first name, which was, I heard from other team on campus, they thought it was crazy that we called our coach by first name. But I think definitely the Europeans had an impact on that part, but definitely some other aspects on. They were very, very into like improving us, not only as hockey players, but as people. And I think most college coaches take that role. And just different rules for meetings, like if you didn't bring your notebook, you were kicked out of the meeting and stuff like that. So, and I'm gonna admit that I did forget it sometimes, that notebook, and got kicked out of meetings and it in the beginning because everything was new, my head was everywhere, and then that was something nothing that would happen back home if you didn't have a notebook to a meeting, that you would get kicked out.
Yep. All right. So, and of course, did you think that you were going to stay all 4 years?
Yes, I was determined on finishing my degree at Maine.
Yeah. But you
And
didn't just do 4 years, you did 5 years.
yeah, I ended up doing 5 years, but the last year I transferred to Providence College for my fifth year.
Yeah. And how did that go about? Because I mean, normally you only have 4 years of eligibility.
So due to the COVID year, I got an extra year of eligibility, and I know it affected other conferences more than ours. The only way we were impacted by COVID was that we couldn't play any home games because the regulations in the state of Maine. So we
Yeah.
all always try out of state for those games, but we got to play a decent amount of games that season. But luckily, I got another year to play college hockey, which it was no doubt in my mind that I was not going to take that fifth year if I had the opportunity to.
But why then Providence College?
I would say I kind of felt like I wanted to try something different for my fifth year. Being up in Maine and finishing my degree there, like it's not much happening there. And I would say it was a mixture of trying to get somewhere that I would develop even more for my fifth year before coming back home to Sweden, and also experiencing more of what it is like to live in a city, like a real city in America.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of a mixture of both hockey wise and also just experience that I decided to leave Maine.
Yeah. And then, so did you play in the same conference as Maine?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did, and it was great. Unfortunately, I never got to go up to the Alfond at the University of Maine because the game we played them away that my fifth year was an outreach game, so it was played in Portland, Maine.
Okay.
But that was fun as well because I'd been playing those outreach games every season that I had been at Maine, so I knew what it's about, and it's just spreading the awareness of women hockey around the state. So that's always a fun experience because those games are usually more packed than the games up in Alfond at Maine.
Yeah. So explain to like, okay, now you've been to two different colleges, University of Maine, who is a I think it's a what's called a land grant university. It's a major university in Maine. It's big. The enrollment there is much bigger than Providence College.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a big difference. Like you said, Maine is a public school, the biggest university in Maine, I think between 12 and 13,000 students. So
Yeah.
not a massive
Not
university,
huge,
like
but
not
still,
huge, but
Maine is big.
for Maine it's big. And then coming to Providence College, that was a private Catholic school with 4,000 students. It was definitely a big difference. But I think I got to experience two very different schools, and I think both of them were great experiences for me, and it showed me how a little bit more on how like different, even if I thought Maine was so great when I got there, like facility wise and stuff like that compared to Sweden. I got to Providence. It was a private Catholic school with a lot more money than Maine as a public school. The facilities were even better at Providence, and that was something I hadn't thought about before I started looking into other schools for my fifth year.
Yeah. Did they have a, so does Providence, they have an D1 for men's as well, right?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Look, I'm looking at their roster. Wow. They have, their men's team has one, nine NHL draft picks on them. That's right. They're the Friars. They were up there in the close to Frozen Four last year, I believe. Yeah. But I think that, and I think that for people who are listening, you know, these smaller schools, there's some of these smaller schools that are sometimes D3. They're private schools. This one is a little bit different because it's a D1. but it's a smaller school. And I think that it's the experiences and the facilities are typically different. And hockey is probably similar, but the life as a college student is very different. But you then took the opportunity to get your master's degree.
Yes, I did. I did. I finished that in that 1 year that I was there. I unfortunately Providence College didn't have a master's in psychology, which was my undergrad. But I took something that was close to it, which was global education and TESOL. So it was still sort of having to work with people, but now more about teaching and teaching English. So that was a great experience, and I had amazing professors that made it possible to finish that in 1 year.
Yeah. Did you do okay academically, grades wise?
At Providence, I did the best out of my all 5 years. I think I ended up with a 3.94 or something like that. So I
Yeah.
was close to a 4.0, but yeah.
Yeah. It's funny though how, as you grow and you mature, when you put effort into something. I think that's something to be said about the US system is some people say it's easier, but I don't know. It's just a different system. And if you were to have gotten, I mean, explain to those that are taking a university degree in Sweden with tentor and that type of, you take one class and then you go on to the next class and you don't take multiple at the same time. What would you say? Of course, you didn't get your degree in Sweden, but you're familiar with how that system works. Very, very different, right?
No, I think the in some ways, I think there's obviously benefits and cons with everything, but I think with the US system, I believe that it's a way. You can mess up one test or one quiz, and like you can still like do fine in the class as long as you put efforts into the next quiz and test. And I think that's a great thing because, especially in the US, when most kids move from home and like it's their first time leaving from home freshman year, and that whole thing is an experience by itself, and it might be hard to manage stuff. I think it's a really good system to have. To make sure that they might struggle for a month that first semester and might not do well on tests and quizzes, but they'll have the opportunity later on in that semester to do better. And I think
Yeah.
that's a great way. And I know that helped me a lot because in the beginning, it takes time to figure out also like the professor what questions are going to be on the quiz, what questions are going to be on the exam. So you kind of get multiple chances to figure out how to study for that certain class, and then eventually, if you put time and effort into it, you will do well.
Yeah. And one thing for me when I went through college, and you'll realize this too, that no one can ever take that degree away from you.
No.
Once you're done, and like when you take a class and you're done with that class and you move on to the next one, and 4 years seem like a long time, but it goes by pretty quick. And when you're done, you're done, and you'll always have that in your back pocket. And I guess timing-wise, was there talks about the Professional Women's League when you were there, or how did that, the decision-wise to you could have stayed.
Yeah, so when I was at Providence College, that's when it kind of got announced that they were gonna the former Professional Women's League was gonna get bought up, and then it's gonna turn into something even more serious. And I know the goaltender that I had on my team, she was German. She entered the draft and got picked, and playing there now. But I think for me, I didn't even really think about staying at the time. I wanted to come back home, and I felt like I would have a better opportunity playing at home, and hopefully My focus now is on the next Winter Olympics and trying to make that team. It's better to be at home. They can see you play more.
Yeah.
And that showed on pretty quickly in this season. I got the opportunity for the first time to represent the Sweden's women's national team for 3 games there. So I think it was a good decision of me. And that's also kind of why I didn't even look towards the professional league in the US because I wanted to come home for. Partly because I missed home, but also I wanted to be more seen and have more games seen played by the national team coaches.
Well, and 3 games, 2 points in 3 games wasn't too bad either. But and SDHL now has checking, which they didn't have when you left.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
So did
And I
that,
love it.
I mean, how was that? Was that a challenge for you, or like, yes, finally?
No, I for me it was yes, finally, but then I remember the first our first exhibition game back. I made a pass and my mind was just not ready for it because I've never played with it before, so I ended up getting a hit and actually hurt my shoulder a bit. But that was kind of the wake up call, and once I got back from that little shoulder injury, it felt like I needed that bigger hit on me to realize that I need to be ready at all times. And then I
Yeah.
also started playing physical back as well.
Yeah. Well, they say hit or be hit first
Yeah.
thing in the game, right? And get going and these type of things. I think it's a good development. It's going to be interesting to see how that kind of translates into other I mean, college hockey, women's college hockey, okay, doesn't have checking, but it's very physical, right?
Yes, yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I don't think from a toughness standpoint, it changes perhaps anything. Tactics wise,
It does, yeah.
it changes things, but that doesn't mean that the
And I would
NCAA
say,
women isn't
yeah.
tough.
No, it is. And I would say, you do somewhat hit in the NCAA, but I would call them soft hits very close to the boards.
Yeah.
And there it's just like try to make as little noise as possible because I feel like a lot of the refs most often goes for okay, that was a loud hit, like I'm gonna even if it wasn't unfair, they usually went a lot for sound, I felt like when I play there, but so that's the difference. They just here you get the same hits, but they're just harder because you're allowed to, so it's gonna hurt a little bit more when you get
Yeah.
them.
Yeah. So now you're back in Leksand, Lättat Leva, easy to live.
Yeah.
Live outside the little bit of center of town.
Yes.
And you said near the golf course up
Yeah.
there. So what's the difference now coming back? Same town, same team, same rink. They've had a little bit of up and down. Team,
Yeah.
but you have all the ability to succeed where you're at.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think there's a lot happened in SDHL since I left. The minimum, what people earn, is a lot higher than it was before I left. When I left, most people worked 100%.
Yep.
This year, we had 0 players on the team that worked 100% on the side. And I think it's just a lot more opportunities. People get paid a lot more. Still not a lot, but a lot more than it used to be.
Yep.
And so that's something that's also great. And as well, coming back here, I think the main difference for me, I've always been used to playing in the SHL and be the youngest, one of the youngest players on the team. But now when I got back, I was one of the older, not the oldest, but one of the older people, and I had some of the girls that are the age that I used to be, and just seeing that is so crazy because I don't feel like I've gotten that much older. But so just taking maybe a bigger role on that aspect of being one of the older players has definitely been a change.
Yeah. So what would you say to, I mean, this thing about whether it's men or women that has the ability to stay or go. The core of you, this is the same as when before you left, but it's changed you, I'm sure. And by the way, now you have a master's degree in your back pocket that you didn't have to sort of pay for. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't free. You had to have living expenses, but I'm sure it wasn't easy. But now looking back after now you're coming back, and from a hockey wise, are you a better hockey player than before you left?
Yes, I would say I am. I'm more well-rounded now. When I left, I was, like I said, a very offensive defenseman. And Alex, that was my coach then, is now my GM. We had a fun talk a few weeks ago where he said, "Oh, back then when I put you on the ice, I never knew what was going to happen. It could be really, really great, or it could be really, really bad." But
And that's
now,
Alexander Brahms, right?
exactly. But now I would say I'm more well-rounded. I would say maybe I've lost some of my offensive abilities during my time at Maine, but I due to the fa like how we played, we weren't the most skilled team in Hockey East, so it wasn't much room to be creative in that aspect. But once I got to Providence, it was a lot more room for that because we had a much more skilled team. And it was encouraged. So I feel like I got that back my fifth year a little bit. And it's still something I'm working on getting back. But so right now, I want to call myself a two-way defenseman. But my biggest strengths are right now, I would say defensively. But it's something I know I have that offensive part in me, but I just have to bring it out again and start believing in myself on the offensive blue line, I think.
So are you a when you talk to people, and I'm sure that's pretty cool too. Now you're in a role of somewhat of an advisor to the younger girls that are coming up. What do you tell them
I mean,
about the US, about, should I go?
If they say, if anyone asks me, like, should I do it, all I say to them is, like, it's worth going. Like, and even if you go and you don't like it, you can always just pack your bags and fly back home. But I think you're gonna regret not trying, like, because you're gonna, like, it's an experience. And taking away, like, the school and the hockey, just like the college life. And how that is, just living that is an experience that you can't get in Sweden nearly in the same way. So I just tell them, like, you should try, just go over, try the worst case scenario you don't like, and just fly back home and start playing SDHL again.
All right, two things, and then we'll wrap up. I always ask this question. Of course, you're not that far removed from it, but you met yourself at 17. And what are some things that you know now that you didn't know back then that you would kind of, if you sat there next to yourself and say, "Hey, think about this." Because you're 7 years wiser. What advice would you give yourself?
I would tell myself to be patient, and keep working, because at the time when I was 17, I didn't think I was going to go to college. I would say it's going to come. Just be patient and keep working, and also be grateful for the opportunities you get.
Yeah, good advice. Good advice. All right. So last thing is we have a partnership with Target Aid. Hopefully we can get a partnership with Lexon and Target Aid to help. It's a fundraising platform that they've done. I don't know if you saw the thing with Djurgården. They raised 1.5 million Swedish crowns for through their platform, which is pretty amazing. It's slick. And what they do really well is tie together kind of the vehicle for people to donate money, but The other part that we try to do is really build in providing content in stories through the platform that can then be shared with the organizations on their social media, on their websites, and these type of things. So the initiative that we have with Target 8 is called Klubben i mitt hjärta, the club or the team in my heart. So which one you've been with several different organizations, but which one's closest to your heart?
That's a good question. I'm gonna say Amtuna, yes. They taught me how to skate, they taught me how to shoot, they taught me how to be a team player. So that's definitely very close to my heart. So yeah, my
Good.
where I started playing hockey.
Yeah, no, I think that's excellent, and we'll make sure that so what will happen on our Target Aid kind of site, your name will be up there, and it'll have Amtuna, and they may reach out to you or something, and for a little blurb or something, and so we can help then Amtuna with, hey, Ida Press used or selected you as the team in my heart. I want to share that, and so people know that, and I think it's awesome. And everyone's going to have different teams that, for different reasons, are close to your heart. Ida, thank you for coming on, and pushed it a little bit. I was taking my girl to the dentist, so I had to kind of wait a little bit, but thank you for being patient. Been fun. Hopefully people that are listening to this gets a little bit of a taste of what it's like to move from one place to another, and the sky's the limit. Olympics sounds like a good goal to strive for.
It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to do my best.
And you may meet some of your former teammates from your time in college on the other side.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you can tell them you've been checking over here now, so see how that goes.
Yeah, they better be ready.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks a bunch. Have a good one.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.